total black experience in sound, in stereo.
Original coming through with the boogaloo. What you gonna do to the crew? Make way for the brothers who lyrically act plus a cat, breaking your back and breaking the fact that your act is a shitty pack. You should've got with the shot. Lyrical Glock, run up on your block with my trigger pun cock. To ease out, select up, play that shit for all my niggas locked down. Play that shit for all my niggas uptown. Play that shit. And when I pick up the microphone, somebody head gets split.
Man, that shit, that might as well have been Snoop Dogg, man. Yelping, cowering, groveling, whimpering. They turned the dog and neutered this motherfucker on international digital TV. And I'm going to quickly go through this and then give you examples of cats coming out strong, speaking their mind with conviction, only to go on an apology tour soon thereafter. So if that's the case, why even say anything? We're going to give you examples of that, but first I'm going to get into this Snoop Dogg shit. We all know what he said to Gayle King. Everybody saw the video.
Gayle King, out of pocket for that shit. Way out of pocket. What do you gain from that? We expect more from you, Gayle. Why y'all attacking us? We your people. You ain't coming after fucking Harvey Weinstein asking them dumbass questions? Funky dog-head bitch. How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker? Respect the family and back off, bitch, before we come get you.
He was talking to one person, right? It was very specific. They got this cat up on this show on Facebook, hosted by Jada Pinkett Smith, and they flipped it on him. They flipped it big time on him. They freaked him crazy. They said, man, those comments, we felt you were talking about all black women. How the fuck could you think that when he was talking specifically to one person? Now, he should apologize for calling Gayle King names. He could have just said, yo, that was my man. I thought the questions were out of line. We're grieving. We're mourning Kobe Bryant. And you come with this bullshit. So, of course, I felt some kind of way. I know this dude personally. Boom, that's it. But they flipped it and said, oh, your comments, you're talking about all black women. So they want us to believe that Snoop was talking about his own mother, his grandmother, his aunt. Get the fuck out of here with that, yo. So as a result of that, it was a show of contrition in a weakened position. So the opening act on this apology tour for this particular episode will start with talk show host Wendy Williams making a true statement. So basically, we will have before and then the obligatory, customary apology.
I don't care if you're gay. You don't get a Menci every 28 days, all right? You can do a lot that we do, but I get offended by the idea that we go through something you will never go through. And stop wearing our skirts and our heels. Just saying, girls, what do we have for ourselves? Look at here now, gay men. You'll never be the woman that we are.
I'll start by saying I apologize. I did not mean to offend my LGBTQ+ community. I didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just having a conversation. I deeply apologize. I will do better.
The people who make the rules dictate how you behave. They are in control of the racks. So it makes no sense to come out hard when you gotta soon apologize. Just keep your mouth closed. We all know why.
To this story, kiddies, got to do with how far you stick it in to measure how much you get out. By the way, if you haven't discovered yet, we've come out of the hole, brother, to spend the rest of our lives to get back in.
Dwayne Wade, you gone too fucking far, dog. That is a male, a 12-year-old. They don't have shit figured out yet. He might meet a woman, anything, at 16 and fall in love with her. But his dick be gone. How he gonna... Don't cut his dick off, bro. If he gonna be gay, let him be gay. Like, don't address him as a woman, dog. He 12 years old. Don't cut his dick off.
That was Boosie, Badass. Time for reverse engineering. He was talking about D-Wade, former NBA all-time great. D-Wade just had his jersey retired in Miami. He deserved everything regarding basketball, all the accolades, no doubt about it. So Boosie was saying, yo, I know what you said about your son. He's a she. He's identifying as a she. The son is kind of dictating things. He's a minor. But whatever you do, don't cut this boy's dick off. Why is he saying that? Because if the son is identifying as a she, is it not reasonable that he may look down at that appendage and say, well, since I don't identify as a he, dad, let's get this lopped off. I know you're getting me puberty blockers, but that's not enough. I want to do away with this part, which is the point of Boosie Badass's rant. Whatever you do, Dwayne Wade, don't cut this boy's appendage off because you might regret it later in life and he will never forgive you for kowtowing to him when he was a minor. This makes sense for Boosie Badass to make an appeal to D-Wade and tell him,
got a little woman, be a woman.
Okay, New York style podcasting, done in that good old fashioned way. We talk to you like you right here, man. Make sure you rate and review this podcast. Go to Apple Podcasts to do that. Put some ratings on this brother's name right here live in the streets of New York. I'm urging you to subscribe to this podcast where the content keeps the listener content because it's contentious, therefore contagious. Real talk. No filters, independent thinking. We reside in the middle. We have no sides, but we just comment on things and we come out with original, unique opinions. There's one G Moody on the planet Earth. So the content should be unique to one person, which is me. We got to talk about Democratic presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg. The ultimate panderer. I call him the panda man, meaning he will morph into whatever you like. If he wants your vote, he's going to do whatever you do. So he was a mayor here in the city of New York, and stop and frisk was controversial. He decided to run for president. So what did he have to do to get the black vote? Oh, I got to apologize to these motherfuckers. So they put him out there to go to every black community and show contrition for stop and frisk because he wants your vote. Now, some remarks came out of him disparaging the transgender community. He referred to the transgenders as he, it, and some guy in a dress. So based on what we know of him pandering, how can he pander to this community? It's simple. Next debate, come out there in a dress. Put the wig on, lipstick. He has to jump in the heels of the transgender community. Show that you have learned. It's all about tolerance and inclusion. And the other contestants can't poke fun at you because they would be seen as intolerant. One, two, one, two, New York style podcasting. I used to be envious back in the days as a kid growing up in Brooklyn in the projects. You watching the movies, you see these former child actors. We're about the same age, 14, 15. You see them on the screen doing their thing. You know they get money. You know they're famous. What would it be like to be them? Talking about Corey Feldman, the late Corey Haim, all these former child actors. Little did I know that these motherfuckers would probably trade their lives with me based on what we know now, what happened to these cats, man. Unbelievable. These dudes was crackheads. These dudes were around monsters and pedophiliacs in Hollywood. The producers was preying upon these cats, trading them around, running up in them on a regular basis. They even had this dude, Corey Haim, who sadly OD'd and passed away based on the foolishness he was going through since the age of 11. They had this cat thinking that it was normal for adult men to lay up with boys. They win that money on the set. As it was a break in the set, they said, yo, come behind this trailer, man. This is what goes on out here, B. This was in the book. This isn't me just making it up, and I'm not making light of it, but just to show that I was envious of their lives, and they would trade their lives with mine growing up at BK in the projects where I wasn't preyed upon. So Corey Feldman, who was sadly part of that whole shit where they was trading these boys around, is going to come out with a documentary naming the names of the producers. It's a live stream. Hopefully this cat is hidden away, because I know some dudes is looking to get rid of this dude, because he's going to expose the monsters that was preying on him and all of these child actors. So hopefully he could get it out before anything happens to him. Hope not.
The underground world of female masking. Anyone heard of that?
No.
Right. Well, it's a community comprised of mostly heterosexual men who, with the help of a mask and a silicone sex suit, strive to transform themselves into real-life sex dolls.
I was actually a very big-time athlete about a decade ago. This trophy right here was for MVP of a tournament when I was in college. When I walk into a place, they see a large black man and they go automatically, he's gonna rob me. Whereas, as a female, they're like, oh, she's really sexy, she's really cute, she's really curvy. I noticed that when I'm a sexy female, I get treated completely differently. For people to realize that this beautiful big white woman is really a black man is mind-blowing.
Yo, stop what you're doing. Look at this motherfucker on YouTube. It's called The Secret Life of Living Dolls. Now, from what you heard his voice was muffled. This motherfucker had a full latex suit. This cat has turned himself into a sex doll. It's called masking. And this dude is from New York, and he said he's a 6'5", 6'6", big black dude, and racism is so much to where he had to become a sex doll. Go to YouTube and check this shit out. It's going to bug you out. I know this dude probably was nice and ball in the city. He said a decade ago he was a big-time athlete here in New York. And from the video, if you look in his room, he got mad trophies and the posters of basketball players on the wall. So I'm trying to figure out, yo, who is this motherfucker, man, who turned himself into a full-figured white woman? He's walking around here in a mask. Stop and Google this shit. Go to YouTube and laugh your ass off.
We will teach them all about the guy who first is down, but then he lies what he is to you. He's a part-time sucker.
Check it out. This is how you know Oprah and her friend Gayle King is on some bullshit. Now that we know Harvey Weinstein is convicted, right? He got convicted of two of the five charges. Of course, they are lesser charges. And being in New York State, that means halfway house, probation probably, cooling off period. Historically, this is how it goes. Cooling off period. Get back in the game. Change the name of the company. Play the background. Pull the strings, minus the skeeting. He's been skeeting for 30 years. He can take a break. Now we got to go to these fake-ass journalists right now. These racist against black people. These racist black journalists that single out black males. Now, they are friends with this motherfucker, Harvey Weinstein. You see how this shit works? Lisa Leslie was friends with Kobe Bryant. Gayle King interviewed Lisa Leslie about the complicated legacy of Kobe Bryant. We all know what happened, right? So now, would it not be right for Gayle King to interview Oprah Winfrey, who's close friends with Harvey Weinstein, about her friend's legacy? If you're really a journalist, you gotta go there, just like you went there with Lisa Leslie. This motherfucker has been convicted on some barbarian shit that came out in the court. Now it's your time to put on that journalist bullshit and go to your friend and say, yo, what about your man's legacy? Is it complicated? We all know what happened, right? This is what they do. They tear down motherfuckers. Now it's time to tear down each other. And then Oprah can interview Gayle King about sitting next to an admitted sexual predator in Charlie Rose. You know, you was in close proximity with this animal who you said is a close friend of yours. What about his legacy? He's been a journalist for 40 years and now he's on the run in hiding. You know what I'm saying? Since you tear down one specific group and you single out one group and you are part of that group, whether you like it or not, now it's time to tear each other down in the public square. Let's see if it happens.
Royalty from the county of Kings. Mama spoiled me. The neighborhood expressed loyalty. Raised on quarters, we go to the store for you. My house, show house, we open the door for you.
You see the Pumas all white outside. Our PlayStation was right outside. I love the block, I couldn't fight outside. Dooms had to huff you with the puppy seat. Calvin coolers, parties in the basement, that's love.
Subscribe to this podcast. We do it outside. We have a good time doing it outside. Cold ass weather, hot content that keeps the listener content. Go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review. The podcast is called This, That, and the Third with yours truly, G. Moody, the host with the most. Real talk, no filters, independent thinking is a hallmark of this podcast. We don't follow nobody. We take the lead and do it the way we're supposed to do it, live in the streets of NYC, anytime, any place, wherever. And whenever.
Well, sit yourself down, girl, and talk to me. Tell me what's on your mind.
We are New York, and we love basketball. We're gonna take it off, 'cause we're the New York Knicks.
The NBA, the Knicks. The Knicks don't have much to celebrate, right? They're basically known for losing. But back in the days, they won a couple of chips. In 1969, 70 season, they won a chip. So it's 50 years later. So, of course, Madison Square Garden and the Knicks, they want to celebrate these cats, rightfully so. They deserve it. They did their thing in that year. But there's one motherfucker the Knicks don't want to bring back. The voice of the Knicks during that time was Marv Oftig. I think that's his real name. Goes by the name of Marv Albert. He said, oh, man, it would have been nice to come back. I would have, you know, loved to see the guys. Motherfucker, you know why they don't want you back. And for people who don't know, I'm about to get into the tawdry details of this motherfucker that happened in 1997. And this is the reason why the Knicks don't want this guy back in the Garden. They are continuing to distance themselves from this dude. Why? Here we go. In 1997, this dude embarrassed the New York Knicks when he pled guilty to an ill sexual assault and battery case in Virginia. He had originally pled not guilty after being accused by a woman of throwing her on her bed and repeatedly biting her on her back. And he also forced her to give him some dome in an Arlington, Virginia telly. This is all in the press during 1997. He's working for the Knicks. So they're getting mad embarrassed, right? The woman said, yo, this dude got heated and enraged just because I wouldn't bring a brother into bed so he could get on some cuckold shit. So this is why he went at her. This came out in the press. This ain't me just trying to rub this motherfucker's nose in it. I'm giving you the reason why the Knicks don't want this dude around in the Me Too movement. He finally folded the tent when a second woman came through and said, yo, this dude came out that bathroom in a telly wearing a thong, panties, and a garter belt, and then he lunged at me and bit me too. And the only reason I got out of that room is I grabbed his toupee and ripped that shit off, and then I made a break for the exit. So, in exchange for that guilty plea on the misdemeanor assault charge, the prosecutors in Arlington, Virginia dropped the more serious, forcible sodomy charge. So he tried to run up in them on the force tip. So here we are 50 years later. They're celebrating the New York Knicks. They can't bring this motherfucker back into the garden. People who remember 1997, as soon as you see this cat, you're going to think about that time. This is a wild motherfucker. How is he involved with this? So as a business, the Knicks have the right to be discretionary and keep this motherfucker away and celebrate the dudes who won the championship. Sounds about right to me.
Freaky like Marv Albert in outfits. Yeah. 1, 2. Yeah. Where my nigga JD? Where you at?
Yeah. Huh. Ooh. You say you got guns, then bring that shit.
What?
You say you got ones, then bring that shit. What? You gon' need a lot more ones than guns for this.
What?
Me and my mans is about to spit some
hot shit. Yeah, 1, 2. About to spit that hot shit.
Okay, New York Style Podcasting live in the BX. Before we sign out, we got to go into the presidential candidate who dropped out in South Carolina. His name is Tom Steiner. But before he drops out, he has to pander, right? I said this before. They don't come to the black community on some serious shit. He comes ready to dance, ready to show that he knows a rap song, dancing and looking ridiculous on stage, right? Now, if you're really a serious presidential candidate, or any candidate for that matter, if someone asks you, yo, come out here and dance, it's like, yo, I'll come out here for that, man. I want these people to know I'm serious, man. We're trying to fix things going on in your community that you really need to be fixed. And I'm here to address those issues in exchange for your vote. That's it. You talking about a party, motherfucker. I ain't come here for that. And I feel disrespected that you would ask me to participate in a plantation jubilee. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to address the needs of this community in exchange for the vote. And the fact that you want me to participate in some bullshit means I'm going to go elsewhere. So that's how the candidate should address being asked to participate in some party when he's looking for the vote.
A little badass shorty with no remorse. I kill 40s and toss grenades on stage, so who's the boss? Another group blew up the scene, drew up a plan to get green. Now I got sticky mean with my tag team. G-Morning, if you're thinking of taking this to underground rooms, and ain't no more faking if you're thinking of making it. Straight up and down, enough respect to Bucktown. Home of the chrome where I roam, not giving a fuck now. Damn, guess when you thought it was safe to come out with a rhyme.
Man, it was some parents of the year on Twitter. They subjected their little girl to a drag queen show. The little girl was terrorized. This motherfucker was like a 6'3 black dude dressed up, butt-ass naked, bunking up in her face. Little girl was traumatized. And I guess a drag queen, an actual drag queen, saw this shit and got outraged and gave those parents an earful and basically echoed the world's sentiments regarding subjecting your children to this bullshit. Kick it.
A drag queen performs in a nightclub for adults. There is a lot of filth that goes on, a lot of sexual stuff that goes on. And backstage, there's a lot of nudity, sex, and drugs. I have no idea why you want drag queens to read books to your children. What in the hell has a drag queen ever done to make you have so much respect for them and admire them so much? Other than put on makeup and jump on the floor and writhe around and do sexual things on stage. I have absolutely no idea why you would want that to influence your child. Would you want a stripper or a porn star to influence your child? It makes no sense at all. So I don't think that this is an avenue you would want your child to explore. And I understand you might want to look like you're with it, that you're cool, that you're woke, that you're not a Nazi, that you're not a homophobe, whatever it may be. But you can raise your child to be just a normal, regular, everyday child without including them in gay, sexual things. And honestly, you're not doing the gay community any favors. In fact, you're hurting us, okay? We have already had a reputation of being pedophiles and being perverts and deviants. We don't need you to bring your children around. So you keep your kids at home, or take them to Disneyland, or take them to Chuck E. Cheese. But if you need your child to be entertained by a big human in a costume or in makeup, take them to the circus or something. When they turn 18, then why don't you take them to the clubs on their 18th birthday? Because it's an adult thing, okay? So don't ruin your child's life, and don't ruin us, because that's what you're doing.
The team comes steady. The mobile lobby, motherfuckers. And that's my word, we trying to blow. The team comes steady. The mobile lobby, motherfuckers. And that's my word, we trying to blow. The team comes steady. The mobile lobby, motherfuckers.
Oh man, I gotta make an addendum to what I said earlier about these presidential candidates. Michael Bloomberg went to a black church, and the congregants turned their back on this motherfucker. The tide is turning. You know, he had the gatekeepers, you know, usher him into the black church. Who are the gatekeepers? Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. This is the old guard. So Bloomberg says, yo, I'm hit y'all with like 400 racks apiece. Chaperone me into the black church. If they see you guys, it'll be an easier time for me to speak. Little does he know, the black folks are really changing. Their minds are changing. They know the pander man is there only to pander. So they don't believe whatever's coming out of his fucking mouth. So it seems that it's pretty much over for the pander man, aka Michael Bloomberg. The pandering isn't working. Now what? Salutations to all my Brooklyn people who listen to the podcast around the country, giving me words of encouragement to keep the content going, because it damn sure has kept them content. Contagious content. That's what it's about. This, that, and the third with G. Moody, Independent Thinking, which results in it being a five-star podcast, the Pyramid of Podcasting, and the rest of these motherfuckers is on some Stonehenge bullshit.
The realness.
The total black experience in sound, in stereo.